Monday, happy days. Good Thursday afternoon, and welcome to Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller. Today's special guest is Dr. Mark Bartz, the swim coach for your Emerald Vikings. And now coming to you live from Sharp Facets Gallery, here's your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. I do have Dr. Mark Bartz, and we do need to say this right now before the show gets any further. Go Vikings! That's right. Whether it's football or golf or swimming or basketball, hey, it's all about the Vikings. And, of course, we love supporting the Vikings right here on WLMA. But, tough loss last night. Tough loss. But you said you were proud of your team.
Oh, the kids did fantastic. And that's all we can go for, steady improvement. And that's what they've been doing. They've been working really hard.
They have been working hard. And, of course, if it wasn't for you, we might not have a swim team going on here.
This has just been a fun experience, and it's not, I mean, we have a lot of people that have finally gotten involved with swimming, so it's growing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have went from 12 years ago having two high school swimmers to last night we had upwards of 40 kids.
That's a tremendous difference.
Yeah, that's been a fun transition.
It has. Now, of course, you are from, Indiana. You're from up north there, where swimming was always a much bigger sport. Isn't it interesting? Why do you think the difference?
I think so much of it just has to do with the difference in the public support of it. Plus, there you had a system where your high schools had pools on site, and so your school was very involved with swimming. And that's true of most of the Midwest.
Sure. And you said actually that the pools at the schools were used, that's where you learned to swim?
Those were your community pools. Like most of the high schools, like Indiana now I think has 210 high school swimming teams, and almost every team has a high school pool. And that was also your community pool. You know, that's where you started to swim, that's where you did after-hour activities. So it was very much a part of the community.
And yet down here we have so much more opportunity for swimming because of the season and everything. In fact, you were telling me that here the seasons are different as when you actually swim.
Yeah, it's really tough in South Carolina because we only have a 10-week season because a lot of our teams have to use community pools for their high school pools. And so about mid-October, it's just your water temperature and your air temperature is getting to the point where it's really hard to have a good practice. So we do a really quick season.
Really quick season, I guess so. Mm-hmm. So where do Emerald and Greenwood, where do they actually practice?
This year we've gone back to working with the YMCA pool, and we really want to thank Gray Stallworth and everybody there that we've been able to have the YMCA support.
Right, because before that it used to be at Lander.
There was an indoor facility at Lander. It was just a beautiful six-lane pool, and for several years we were fortunate enough to be able to use that facility for our practice pool.
Sure. But things, they are changing.
Things change, yes.
That's right, they do. So now I just want to ask you, graduated with a degree in biology at Purdue University back in 1981, and then you went to med school. But before that, what did you always wanted to be growing up?
Oh, it was funny. I always wanted to be a doctor, but I came from a very small town, and I came from a school system that basically told me how many things I couldn't do. And so eventually I just made up my mind that I was going to achieve that, and I just had to work towards it. I didn't have any physicians in my family. I didn't have any physicians that I grew up with. That's always what I wanted to do.
And did they ever tell you, you can't become a doctor?
Oh, every time I would go to a school counselor, they'd tell me, you don't want to do that. They would tell me, be an engineer, be this, be that. But and I think it was just my stubborn German background that said, okay, you tell me I'm not going to do it, well, that's the very thing I'm going to do. So
it could have been disastrous for you, though. You could have gotten all the way down the road and said, I don't want to be a doctor now.
No, it was funny because even my parents, when I was about a junior in college, they were like, what will you do if you don't get into med school? And I was like, no, I'm going to get into med school. and so it was interesting, but it was definitely a... It's a lot like swimming or sports. I mean, if you set a goal and you work hard towards it, I guess that's the beauty of being an American.
Absolutely.
You can achieve things you never thought you could achieve. So,
you're right. Now, as far as swimming, though, were you always into swimming growing up? Was that what you were interested in, too?
I loved to swim, but I grew up in an area that most of our swimming was in ponds or lakes or what we call ditches. I mean, it wasn't glamour swimming.
Ditches?
Ditches are very big. That's a big part of northern Indiana. You have swampland that was reclaimed as farmland, and so there's ditches everywhere. And so when it was 95 degrees in the summer in Indiana, you would sometimes go and take a soak in the ditch.
Very interesting, folks. Very interesting. In the ditch. All right. Kind of like tadpoles here.
Oh, more than tadpoles. You never knew what was in the water with you. And I can still remember the first time I saw a competitive swim pool, and I thought, oh, my God, this is heaven. You know, I can see my feet. I know what's in the water with me.
Yeah. Did you ever get attacked by a turtle or something?
You got nibbled on.
Yeah, and then
you never quite knew what you got nibbled with. You know, that was the thing about I thought a swim pool was a much better way to go.
Yeah, I can remember growing up, and of course we swam in lakes, and the sunfish would come out, particularly if you happened to walk over where one of their nests were, and they would bite you.
Yep, they would come up and get you a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. So, okay, swimming in ditches. Life sure has improved, Mark, hasn't it?
It's a better place, that's right.
So now, as a doctor, I would just be really curious to know, because you actually graduated from where? Where did you go to school for your medical degree?
Indiana University.
Indiana University. Mm-hmm. Now, but how did you end up down here?
We were at a position where my wife was in traveling sales. We were in northern Indiana, getting her car woke up in the middle of the wintertime, and we figured that for the 3 years of family practice residency, we were going to at least try to come south. And truthfully, it was to help her with her career, you know, just because she had a diesel car. For those of you that are not from the north, you have to wake your diesel car up about an hour before you go to work. And after doing that for winters and on end, we figured at least for 3 years we'd come south. And at the time, Dr. Montgomery with the Self Memorial Family Practice Program was rated as one of the top family practice programs in the Southeast.
Mm-hmm.
And so we came down here and just, you know, we had the opportunity to come here to do residency, and it was a fantastic place for residency when I was here.
Sure. And you ended up staying.
When we were getting done, John Velke and I were in the same class of residents, and there was an incredible opportunity for primary care in this part of the South. And so we decided we'd start our practice back in 1988.
Wow. So you do family practice. Any special specialty that you do, or all of it?
We do everything. So we still take care of all ages, but the thing I probably do my greatest work in is preventive cardiology. I do a lot of work with diabetic patients, hypertensive patients, and patients both before and after heart attacks.
Okay, so you're seeing a lot of those patients. Well, that's terrific. Hey, we are here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 Bypass. Yes, I'm Ann Eller. Yes, it is time for us to hear a word from our sponsors. Don't you go away. We'll be right back. Hey, if you've got any questions for Dr. Bartz, I don't know if he'll answer any medical ones, but if you got any swim coach ones, he probably would answer those because he is passionate about his swim team. So give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
There's nothing can hold me when I hold you. Feels so right, it can't be wrong.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
You're listening to Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller. Today's special guest is Dr. Mark Bartz, the swim coach for Emerald High School. Now coming to you live from Sharp Facets Gallery, here is your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are right. You know, I think it's in the news. The stock market has taken a tumble here, but so has gold today. So I don't know where the price of gold is going to end up, but I can tell you right now, if you've got gold to sell, hey, you better come see us before it drops much more. Right now, trading around $1,736. So come see us. Silver is down to, where is silver at? $1,738 on gold, gone up just a tad. Silver is at $3,677. So if you have gold, if you have diamonds, you know we pay extra for all those extras, and we pay extra because of the condition of the jewelry. So if it's in great condition, you're going to get more than if it's in meltdown condition. But always paying top dollars. Come see us. Don't let this price slip away. But today we're talking about swimming. We're talking about Dr. Bartz right here and how he got involved in helping set up the swim team here. It's pretty exciting stuff. Sometimes they don't get the exposure, and that's why we're here today on WLMA, just talking about a sport that really prepares you for a long time use. Yesterday, we were talking about golf, and golf is something you can play forever. Well, swimming, I think, comes into that same, maybe not competitively, but swimming does, doesn't it?
It does. The amount of people that swim for a lifetime is really pretty neat, and what they get out of it is what's also pretty cool, because they... Not only is it a great conditioning sport, it's also a very soothing sport. I mean, as you get older, you stop worrying about how fast you swim. You just try to get your yardage in and try to just enjoy it. And a lot of people swim on into their 70s and 80s. It really is a neat lifelong sport.
And I guess for somebody that tries to do preventive cardiology here, that would be a good one to recommend, right?
I just love it because you're not destroying hips and knees at the same time. You know, the swimmers, the main injury we watch for is shoulder injuries because that you're just doing a lot of yardage on your shoulders. But people can swim for a lifetime. And the hardest thing is getting people started. I have a lot of people that literally came and just watched our practices and learned things from the practice. And they can go ahead and apply what they see. It's just fun to watch.
Now, you've been doing the swim team for how long now?
I've been doing the high school teams now. This will be the 12th year.
12th year. Now, do we have swim teams that go on a college level? Or is swimming big in the college levels here in South Carolina?
We have had, you have a swim team at USC, you have a swim team at Clemson, College of Charleston used to have a competitive team. I think now they're to a club team. Limestone College has actually kind of got an up-and-rising swim team. And those are your main programs. A lot of teams have club swimming, or a lot of colleges have club swimming.
Okay.
But it's really sad because men's swimming, especially at the collegiate level, has really taken a hit in the last few years. More and more programs are getting shut down.
Why do you think that is?
A lot of it's got to do with facilities. When you get really top-level swimmers, they want to have a 50-meter pool. Your usual pools are 25-yard pools, so for the cost of the pools alone is huge. And swimmers will sometimes decide which college to go to based on the facilities and the coaching. And Clemson's a prime example. They have exceptional swimmers. They took four kids to the All-American level last year. Fantastic program. But this is their last year of competing at the collegiate level. So that's really sad.
That is sad. So basically, we have more in South Carolina high school level than we are going to have on the college level, right?
That's true. That's true.
All right. We've got some questions coming in here, Dr. Bartz. Let's see. Beth Martin, a youngster at 77. Pools need to have two areas for young and old. And she says Stony Point, the links out there, has a good pool, and they do have a great pool out there. But what do you say? Do you think there should be a young and old pool?
So much of it has to do with the dispute with water temperature. When we swim competitively, we like a water temperature about 77 to 78 degrees. When somebody wants to just go wade in a pool, they think that's really cold. They like a water temperature of 85.
Well, they're not moving around that much, right?
Yeah, that's true. And it's just there's always been a dispute about where your water temperature should be. But, yeah, it would be great if you could do that. It's just the cost of facilities. And the thing that we're looking for, of course, is since we swim 25-yard races, you can work with all different size pools, but for competitive reasons, you're trying to swim in the same kind of pool that you're going to race in.
Sure. Now, does the swim team travel around to different schools?
We do. We've been, you know, the one really fun thing I've had is the building the relationships over the years. So we do traveling throughout the upstate. And it's really funny in other areas of the state how big swimming has become. We compete every year against Riverside High School. Riverside High School has 50 swimmers on their team, and they turn away 30 or 40 kids every year because they don't have space for them. Riverside's just up in Greenville County.
Okay.
But they actually get to use the Middle Tiger YMCA, which is a 50-meter pool. So it's just a matter of where the facilities are and what you get to use. But Riverside's been a friend for years, and they are literally a state championship caliber team every year.
Well, how have we done competing against them?
Individually, we do well. They like to have us up because we can push their kids in certain races. We don't have 50 kids. And swimming really is about numbers. You need kids to cover four different strokes, and you need enough kids to have, usually a swim team needs at least 12 to 14 kids to be competitive at a meet. And we always are grateful to have 7 to 8 boys and 7 to 8 girls.
Wow. That makes it tough then, doesn't it?
Well, you go into meets with different goals. You know, it's like the meet last night. Our goal was to improve our chance at state. But when you really compete against a team of 50 kids, you know going in that you're not going to beat that team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would be like an 8-man football team playing against an 11-man football team. It's really hard to cover that, the odds there.
Yeah, and your 8 are always going to be on the field, right?
That's right. It's a total
and the 11
difference.
Can rotate around.
It's like what we ask of our kids at a swim meet is above and beyond what other swim teams have to do.
Wow. So actually, our kids are doing double duty out there.
Our kids condition harder. Our kids work harder. And the toughest thing is the mental outlook. We really work hard at challenging our kids throughout the season so that when something does pop up, they're ready for it. And that's one of the biggest things we do. Last night was a great meet because we had 3 kids swimming at a much harder level than they ever had before. And before the meet, they were not happy with me. But it's really cool to have them be challenged, and all of a sudden they're like, I can do that. And that's kind of about life in general. You know, you want to accept challenge and learn how to face it.
That's true. Kind of where you come from, where I am going to be a doctor.
Exactly. You got to have the drive.
Absolutely. So it's got to be tough, though, to be a, you told me you were you are a coach, but you also officiate sometimes. So that's got to be tough for you to be coming at it from both angles, particularly in the middle of a meet.
You have to be careful. Mm-hmm. And last night was an instance where I should have been a little more careful, because I respect the decisions that have to be made. But, I've officiated for at least 13, 14 years now. And it's fun, because you do need to know the rules of the sport you're in. But on the other hand, it really helps you with coaching, because you can tell them up front, this is what you have to do, because you know it from the official side as well.
How is it to coach your own children to swim? I mean, you're currently, your son is on the team, right?
Every one of my kids, I've had 3 kids swim now, and every one of my kids tells me the same thing. They said, Dad, you make me work harder than anybody else. And truthfully, that's because that's the way I was raised. I just always felt like I'm never going to have a favorite. I'm never going to put my kid ahead of another child. But probably it's been hard on them. They have many different stories about their dad as a coach.
We should have had one of them come in here today.
Oh, you would have heard some good ones.
But you're very proud of your kids. They've gone on, you have 2 girls and a boy.
Yeah, I have all 3 kids swam. My oldest daughter took swimming and track and actually went on to compete at Clemson in the rowing team. And now she's in her 3rd year of med school. My second daughter's in her 2nd year at Clemson doing just wonderfully wanting to be an education major and also special ed. And then my youngest is a junior in high school.
Sure. So, and that's the one that, his name is?
Walker,
that's right. So he's out there competing now for the swim team and doing a great job. You know what? We are here at Sharp Fastest Gallery. We're talking about swimming. We're talking about competitive meets. You know, it just seems to me a shame that swimming isn't a bigger part, because, like you said, it is so great for all around conditioning. But you said one of the problems of getting your group together to practice is they are so all involved in different sports.
Yeah, we always know up front that we don't have a given child that's just a year-round swimmer. The advantage of that, though, is you get kids from so many different spectrums of life. I mean, right now we have a team that runs 12 years old up to 18 years old, and the fantastic thing this year is these kids mesh wonderfully. The 7th graders get pulled along by the older kids. It's just, this is a great group this year.
So it does work, the fact that they are competing in different sports, and then they bring their different conditioning in too. But as a coach, it has to make it a little bit hard, because you're having to deal with students at all different levels and put them all together and mesh them as a team.
We do some real unique things, and we have to change our practice up because of all the different skill levels we get. But then again, as the season goes on, it's always rewarding to see how much the kids improve. And it's also neat to see when the parents can start to see their difference in their kids, you know, not only from the strength standpoint and the speed standpoint, but they see the confidence that gets developed, and it's that's always fun.
Sure, and swimming is good for those muscles and everything, gets them in
phenomenal
good shape all over the body. Well, we are here with Dr. Mark Bartz. We are talking about the swim team at Emerald High. They are, they've come a long way, baby. I guess we could say that, huh?
It's just been so cool to watch. Yeah, we've had a lot of good achievements. Very proud of the fact that all 11 years that we've had a swim team, we've taken kids to the state competition level. And we've always had to do it at the 3A level. You know, that's the other thing is we've never had quite enough 1A and 2A schools to have our own state competition. We've had many years where our kids would have been state champions if we would have had a 2A meet. And that's okay. You know, they've done really well with what we had to achieve.
Absolutely. Hey, we're going to hear South Carolina news, a word from our sponsors. Don't you go away. We'll be right back.
What does WLMA stand for? Well, it stands for Wow, Let's Meet Again, right here on 1350 AM, Greenwood and the Lakelands News Talk radio station.
Welcome back to Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller. Today's special guest is Dr. Mark Bartz, swim coach for your Emerald Vikings. And now coming to you live from Sharp Facets Gallery, here's your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We've been talking, we're talking swimming. We're talking with Dr. Mark Bartz, who is the swim coach for the team. You know, you started this about 12 years ago, and you were just telling me about Frank Hill when you wanted to bring a swim team on board there at Emerald. What was his response?
Oh, Frank is just wonderful. Frank just basically looked at me and said, Doc, we don't have a pool. And I said, that's okay, Frank. We'll figure it out. And then from that point forward, he supported it.
Yeah. But what did he tell you? He didn't understand swimming or anything else?
But I don't know a thing about swimming, but if you want to try and do that, we'll try and support you.
And you said they were very supportive.
Emerald's been very supportive. You know, it's just like now with Coach Mack and Tanya. I mean, this is the importance of swimming is recognized, and they are very good to help us along.
Absolutely. So this year, doing it at the Y, shame that Lander wasn't able to stay on board as a place to go because that was a great facility.
A wonderful facility.
And, you know, we were just talking about that. I think a lot of places don't realize how great the cross-training is that different sports use swimming, and particularly at the bigger schools, that's a big part, whether it's cross-country or whatever.
It's, you know, even at Lander, it was very common that we'd be doing a practice and we would be sharing space with part of the soccer team or part of the basketball team. It's a way to save your joints as far as your hips and knees. The other thing that's really neat is kids that know how to swim, if they do a running sport and have an injury, they can go back to the pool, they can work 6 to 8 weeks, let the injury heal, and then go back right back to running, and they didn't miss a step. You know, it's fantastic cross-training.
Yeah, particularly, I guess, the lungs and everything is...
Your heart and lung capacity, there's nothing better than swimming. And the matching up of, like, runners and swimmers is really phenomenal. A lot of high schools, even in South Carolina, their kids both run cross-country and swim at the same time.
You know, we were talking about the Olympics, and you were telling me that you feel that our Olympic team that we have right now is getting ready to peak, coming up, of course, the Summer Olympics in London. But what about the future of our Olympic team?
Well, you know, we always have, you know, historically the nation has about 300,000 kids that will swim at a competitive level through high school. So we always have great athletes. But our age of our Olympic team now is getting to the point where 2012 is going to be phenomenal, but there will be a huge change after that. We have a lot of our guys reaching their peak and a lot of the girls reaching their peak for this Olympics.
Now, Phelps, the lung capacity, I guess, of this guy was one of the things that made him phenomenal. Anything else?
The whole body type. When you look at his body and you compare his torso, his neck to hip area to his legs, he is just built to be an animal. And the mental aspect of Phelps is what nobody appreciates. Swimming at the Olympic level, they will have raced in each race 4 to 5 times before they actually hit that gold medal race. And when you look at what Phelps did, that's mind-boggling. I mean, there's no other sport where you've done that many competitions and you've achieved that kind of mental ability for that long. I mean, he is really a phenomenal athlete. And this year, Ryan Lochte will have a fantastic Olympics. Phelps will have a great Olympics. We have a lot of talent going into the Olympics this year.
How about girls?
Girls are phenomenal. And when there was a young lady, and I'm missing her name right now, but there was a 16-year-old out of Colorado that went to the last World Championships and won gold as a 16-year-old. I mean, our girls are always strong. The other thing that's really exciting is Janet Evans, who is now in her 40s, is trying to make an Olympic comeback this year. And Janet, for 25 years, held the distance records through the world. And to see her trying to do this again is really neat.
Why do you think she's doing it?
She had her family. She had achieved great things at a very young age. And she has figured out a way to raise little kids and get back in the pool at the same time. And what they're telling us is that she's actually swimming between 4 and 6 in the morning and then with her family the rest of the day.
Wow. That's phenomenal right there. Absolutely. And let's see. You think that's now? How about any of the kids on your teams? Do you think they're going to go on and swim in college? What do you think?
There will be kids with that opportunity, but the tough thing about swimming is most of my kids do two or three other sports, and really to go on to the collegiate level, you probably should be swimming year round and putting in a lot of hours, because once they get to college, they'll be swimming 3 to 4 hours every day. And so it's just a difference in what you hope to achieve. So we've had some kids. Last year we had Sarah Schwartz from Greenwood able to go on to a Georgia Southern on a swimming scholarship, and that's our first athlete to go on to a swimming scholarship.
Wow, congratulations, right? Yeah.
She was just a strong swimmer and got the opportunity to try it at the collegiate level.
So so not as much then. We don't have a lot of students that actually go on.
The scholarships for swimming are few and far between. I mean, even when you look across the state, it's just there's not as many swim programs at the collegiate level, and there's a lot of colleges that'll have club swimming, but as far as a scholarship program, there are getting fewer every year.
Hmm. Well, that's a shame, and like you said, but it's because of the upkeep. One of the questions that just came in here, Jan Wallace wanted to know, is Lander going to move the pool or just shuttering it down, period? Let's see. She says she'll give them a call to help get their heads right if you need some help, Mark.
This is one I'd rather not get into because I appreciate the fact that we were able to use a Lander pool for years. At this point, we're being told the pool's being shut down, and it's a shame. It's a six-lane, 25-yard, beautiful pool that state tax dollars paid for, and it's supposedly becoming a dance studio.
Wow.
Or a weight room.
Wow. That's hard to believe after you put all that money into that beautiful facility there. That is hard to believe. So, Jan, if you want to give him a call and see what you can find out, we surely would like to not see this pool closed down because, we have so many other facilities, but to have a quality pool like that at Lander, it's going to be a loss.
Well, and the thing that really was sad is that the school district has created something called a fifth grade splash program where every fifth grader gets exposed to swimming. And this year, the Y has been able to figure out a way to take those kids on. But the Lander pool is also being used for that fifth grade program. And that was a district-wide activity that it is fantastic that the school district is bringing swimming on at a young level like that.
Sure. You know, because a lot of kids grow up without that opportunity there of not getting in the water and swimming or having some type of instruction.
Yeah, so it's pool space and pool time is not just about high school swimming. It's a school district issue as well.
So, well, if there was something that could be done to keep the pool at Lander, that would be a good thing. I think that would be a shame to be dancing on top of what used to be a pool. Personally, myself, particularly when you know what a nice facility that was over there at Lander. And particularly with them just opening up all the facilities over there at the Jeff May Complex with the baseball and the soccer and the tennis courts, seems like it would be nice to have a Olympic style pool, a competing pool right there on the campus.
And just thank goodness that the YMCA is being so supportive of swimming.
Absolutely, because without that, where would we go?
It would be tough.
It would be tough. So the YMCA.
I don't have many ditches around here. So.
They don't have the ditches like they did in Indiana. Okay, kids, into the ditch. All right, we are here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We are talking to Mark Barth right here. He is the swim coach for Emerald. He also is a family practice doctor right here in Greenwood. Hey, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors, and yes, we'll be right back.
Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6276.
Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days.
You're listening to Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller. Today's special guest is Dr. Mark Barth, the Emerald High School swimming coach. And now coming to you live from Sharp Facets Gallery, here is your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are here. Hey, I just found out it's only 2 weeks left in the in swimming, and the season will be over, Dr. Barth. Wow, that is short. When did it start?
We started the first day of August, and ours is, you know, with being so many teams having to use outdoor pools, our season's very dominated by the weather, and that, you know, that makes the season tough.
It does. Wow. So this week is regions, and next week after that is a state?
Next Wednesday is our region, Saturday is going to be Greenwood High's region, and then our state meets October 8th.
So how are things shaping up for that?
Things are good. I think we're going to be able to take many more athletes to state this year. We've had a lot of kids just achieve tremendous success, and we'll have a good representation.
Now, where will your regions meet be?
Regions meet here is at the Greenwood Y. That'll be at 6 o'clock next Wednesday. And then the state meets at the USC pool down in Columbia.
Oh, well, that'll be a big trip.
It's fun.
It's fun. How many schools will you actually be competing against?
We have to swim at the 3A level, and last year there were about 40 swim teams trying to get to state.
So it'll be a good-sized group then that you'll
be swimming? It's a fun meet. It's a, you know, in high school swimming, you can only do two individual races and or two relays, and so there's only limited opportunity, and so you have to just try to put your kids in the best races possible.
So you won't actually be able to compete in all the races then?
No. What swimming did several years ago, which is good and bad, is kids have to hit state qualifying times before the state meet. And if they don't hit those times, they don't go to state. And on the good side, if a child would get sick right before state, that would still allow them the opportunity to go to state if they're healthy again.
Right.
What we used to do is we used to have an upper state the week before the state meet, and based on your position that you finished in the upper state is how you got on the state.
Hmm.
So the qualifying times are good because it gives kids a lot more opportunity. But then on the other hand, there's some kids that probably should be able to get on the state that can't make it.
Wow. So do we know how many kids will actually be able to go to state at this moment? Or?
Well, right now we have one child who's already qualified in five different events individually. We have a relay that's pretty solid for now, but we still have like a week to go to see how the times fall out. We hope to take two relays and at least one, if not two, individuals. We have another individual, Dylan Fenders, hit his first state consideration time, and then Walker's hit state automatic times in five different events.
So he'll definitely be going.
Yeah, he's got his spot, and we really think we'll have at least four kids going this year.
Well, that'll be exciting. We need to get a follow-up then and find out how they do at the end since we've only got 2 weeks. Football is just getting cranked up here. I don't even think we haven't even had our first region game yet. I never understood this. When I first was the color girl, and it was like, whoa, we won, but that doesn't count. Whoa, we lost, but that doesn't count. I'm out on the field going, what do you mean? We just went through all this, and it doesn't even count. It's hard to understand, isn't it?
Well, and at this year, you know, 2A football, everybody goes to championship round.
Yeah.
So now this year it's all totally different.
Yeah. So, but interesting anyways. And, of course, if you'd like to, can people come out and watch the swim team?
Oh, most
definitely.
And they
got space out there?
Yeah, our charge for the meet is the best charge ever. It's free.
It's free. Okay. 6 o'clock next Wednesday. Right. Out there at the YMCA. We do need to say a big, big thank you to the Y for helping keep the swim team going, because without that, I don't know where you'd be able to practice.
Just phenomenal support. Just been very willing to work with us this year. And it was tough on the Y and the Y members, because, I mean, for an hour and a half, we've been practicing from 7:30 to 9 every night. And for that time, it is taking space away from some of the members, so we really appreciate their understanding.
But the news about it is it will be over in 2 weeks.
That's right. It's over quick.
Wow, short season. I had no idea. We had a call in from Joyce Ryder. She said she loved swim teams in college. She liked those little tight outfits. Okay, thank you, Joyce. She played field hockey and the team spent one day a week in the pool. They had less injuries. And after starting the pool programs at the University of Georgia. So there you go. That just shows having a pool does have its benefits for the team.
A lot of collegiate sports will use pool time. It's a way to get conditioning in without damaging hips, without damaging knees. And it's also great cross training. It's just until you've tried to run in place in a pool, you don't understand how exhausted you can be from a swim workout.
Absolutely. So this would be an excellent thing. And, you know, we do want to just bring up the Lander Pool here is actually going to be shut down. They're talking about putting a dance floor or maybe a weight room over there. I find that hard to believe when they have such a beautiful facility over there. So, you know, if you want to make a call and find out more about it, of course, just call Dr. Ball over there at Lander and find out why we're closing a beautiful facility that was built with tax dollars over there. Hard for me to believe. And let's see, we got another call coming in here. David Everett. He sees the problem that if Dr. Bart stops the program, then the program stops. He will call Lander in support. Who should they call? Well, I think you should call Dr. Ball. I'm just going to answer for you. Dr. Ball, would that be the appropriate? Let's take it right to the top, right, folks? Because that's what it's going to be about. But I would hate to see that pool closed over there. And like you said, that the program for kids through the school?
The school district program is so huge. You know, to give a fifth grader the opportunity to learn a little bit about water safety, a little bit about water skills. And something that was started last year is we started trying to find the top swimmers out of the Splash program and introduce them to a meet.
Mm-hmm.
And Ken Spruill was instrumental in that last year. They actually had the first post-Splash swim meet. And so you took a bunch of fifth graders that had never swam competitively and created a swim meet for them. And that's something we really were hoping to build on so that kids could start to realize that, you know, you can start swimming high school swimming in seventh grade.
Sure.
And that's a great introduction. You know, the Splash program really does mesh as far as bringing kids in that may never have even thought they could have swam competitively.
And these could be kids that never thought that they could do a sport competitively.
Exactly. We do have swimmers every year that have not been able to find another sport, but they have been able to learn how to swim, and they've been able to constantly improve. And it is really fun to watch the confidence build in those kids.
Absolutely. So that state program right there for fifth graders, you know, I can't think of anything more important, because how scary is it to have somebody on a boat that doesn't know anything about swimming, and we have pontoon boats out there, and as kids grow up and everything, going out on a pontoon boat is so much fun.
Yeah, as I tell my kids, this is a survival skill. It's not just a sport. It's something that once you learn to do, it's always going to be with you.
Absolutely. So whether you're out on the lake or down at the ocean, swimming is something you should know how to do, and I didn't even realize they had a program like that for fifth graders.
It's really a neat program, and it's really cool that they take the time to do that. And again, it's something to build on.
It is something to build on, because like you said, seventh graders. This year, how many seventh graders did you actually have come out?
We had five new seventh graders this year.
And, wow.
As I was telling Ann earlier, we had kids that literally had trouble making one lap, and now at the meet last night, we're swimming 100 yards like it was nothing.
You know, and that is so important, particularly as we talk about the obesity issue, kids being out of shape, not getting out and walking or exercising, and here we have swimming, and look what you just told us.
And it's so much a part of what I do as a doctor as well. I think if I can get people to realize that daily activity of some sort is just vital, it makes your life better.
Absolutely. And, you know, with the way healthcare is going, we got to take care of our own bodies, folks. I'm not dependent on the future of healthcare. Sometimes when I look at what's coming down the pike, I say I better take care of this body. And we all need to do that.
Yeah,
longevity-wise, it's so important.
Just stay busy. No matter what you choose to do, do something physical every day.
Absolutely. Well, I know you are proud of the group that you have put together. And I know futuristically that they've got a couple of tough weeks coming up. Any idea how you're going to train them? Are they going to be training? Have you got any special things you're going to be doing?
We do a lot of similar things to what you do in other conditioning sports. We're going to be doing less weight-based activities as far as their push-ups or crunches will slow down, and we'll reduce our distances a little bit so that the muscles have a chance to heal. And you usually try to have about a 10-day interval where you still do peak work, but you also slow down a little bit. Because we'd really like them to just be able to have their best possible performance at stake.
Well, do the kids get nervous?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just, especially, it's funny to watch how important this is to the kids. You know, it's just like they've put the effort in, they want to achieve, they want to perform, and they care. I mean, these kids really care about what they're doing. So, they get nervous.
They get nervous.
And their coach gets nervous.
And their coach gets a little excited sometimes, too, right?
It happens.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? I think swimming is something, you know, all sports need exposure here. And one of the reasons we had you on is because the swimming doesn't get a lot of exposure out there.
No, and we just appreciate the opportunity. This has been a great opportunity, and thank you for sharing with us.
Sure, and we certainly hope that you'll let us know how state turns out here, and that futuristically, if some of these kids go on and do big things, we need to be kept in the loop so we can give them a kudos out there right here on WLMA.
We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's almost time for us to be gone. Let's just, before we wind up here with Dr. Bartz, let's find out how the price of gold is doing. Is it up? Is it down? You never know what the market's going to be doing. But the price of gold actually has made a little bit of a comeback here, folks. It is at $1,747. Woo! Take advantage of that, coming right back up a little bit. That's good. And silver is at 37. So we'll be here all afternoon. That's right, buying gold, buying silver, buying diamonds, whatever you've got, you know we're going to be buying, because that's what we do. And don't forget, we pay the most because we pay for your little diamonds. We pay for it when it's in good condition as opposed to meltdown condition. So come see us today right here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 bypass. We have been here today with Dr. Mark Bartz. He is a family physician right here in Greenwood, and he gives back to the community by being involved in the swim team. He's been doing this 12 years. I think that's kudos to you, because certainly at any point you could have said, I'm out of here.
it gets frustrating at times, but to see what it does for the kids is all worth it.
Absolutely. So keep up the good work. I certainly wish you all good luck next Wednesday, and then, of course, I guess, is it the Wednesday after that, or is it a Saturday for the final?
Saturday is October 8th is when the state meet will be.
Okay, so we'll be pulling for you down there at USC. Hey, this is WLMA, and, of course, I'm Ann Eller, and, of course, I've been here with Dr. Bartz. Thanks for coming on and sharing with us today.
No, this was fantastic. Thank you.
All right, this is your favorite radio station. We'll be putting a podcast up of this on WLMA.net. So check it out. This is WLMA right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.